you know, to go to med school, you have to work very hard and you have to study hard, you have to get good grades and do all these things. And so, I began planning out everything that I would need to do to accomplish this goal. So college started, I began studying as hard as I could, I began working as hard as I could, and I prayed that God would guide me and lead me to success in everything that I did. And I also prayed that he would help me to score well on all of my exams. Fortunately for me, I failed my first biology exam in college. I ended up getting a 66 when the average was like in the high 70s. And I remember crying and calling my mom and telling her that I'm going to apply to work at McDonald's because that is clearly the only thing that I can do. And so obviously I was incredibly sad and I was very discouraged. But I prayed with my mom, and God revealed to me that I'd begun this process with the wrong attitude. I'd been trying to, plan everything out on my own. I've been trying to do everything on my own that I could to, you know, sort of brute force my way to applying to med school. But God revealed to me that I can do nothing through myself, right? I can only do all things through God, who strengthens me. And so that was the first lesson that I learned when I got to college. And the second lesson that I learned came as I was applying for different extracurricular opportunities and for different scholarships and different awards. So as a biology major in college, one of the things that I was and still am incredibly interested in is research. And so I sent, I think like 5 or 6 different emails to different professors whose labs I was interested in. And I ended up getting either ignored or rejected by every single one of them, except for one professor whose research is in a field that is completely the opposite of what I was interested in. And so I was reluctant to accept, and I was like, I don't even think this is the right lab to join. But after praying about it, I decided to accept her offer. The Lord really gave me peace that even though this isn't the professor that I hoped to work with, he gave me peace that this would be the right professor to work with. And so he led me to her lab, and for the next 4 years, he blessed me abundantly, and he used the time, my time in that lab to pave the way not only for the rest of college, but also for the rest of my career. And obviously, this isn't something that I could have seen or expected before going into it. So as I progressed throughout college, I began to apply for different scholarships and for different awards and for things that, you know, I'd been looking into for either months or even for years. And so I'd never prayed about any of these things. All I had done was just looked at things that could potentially boost my resume or give me extra money because I was poor. And so I spent many hours like researching these things, and I spent many hours writing and doing whatever I could to apply. And unfortunately, unexpectedly, I also got rejected from every single one of these. I had no extra money, so I was still broke, and I didn't get any resume boosters, so that was also pretty unfortunate. But thankfully, thankfully that I lost hope in myself, but I still had hope in God. And so I prayed to the Lord and asked him to guide me in these things, that I wouldn't try to, like I said, brute force my way to accomplish anything, but that I would ask him to lead me towards what he wanted me to do. And so eventually, the Lord opened the door for me, and he led me to applying for another scholarship that I thought I had absolutely no chance at winning. The scholarship application had a lot more parts, and it was considerably more work. And so I thought there was absolutely no reason why I should be applying, but for some reason, the Lord just led me towards this. And so I spent countless hours like writing and stressing and feeling hopeless, but trusting the Lord and asking him to guide me. And so thankfully, eventually, the Lord granted me the scholarship. And even though the money was great and even though the resume booster was nice, but more importantly, the Lord showed me that, you know, the things that I plan for may not necessarily work, and the things that I hope for that I think will be good for my life may not be the right way, may not be the right thing. But whatever the Lord has planned for me, whatever the Lord has in store for me, that is what is right, and that is what will always be better for me in my own life. And so as I got near to graduation, I began to consider my app for med school. And one of the major things that I still had to get over was the MCAT, which is just an exam that you have to take before you apply to med school. And so it was a daunting exam, and I spent months preparing. And I remember the night before I took the exam, my parents and I prayed together. And I remember very distinctly that my mom prayed that God wouldn't give me a high score because she didn't want me to be proud, but she prayed that God would give me the right score. And so obviously I was incredulous that she prayed this. I was like, why would you pray on my downfall? And why would you ask the Lord to give me a score that wasn't good? But I understood what she was asking for. She was asking that the Lord would give me a score that would humble me, but also be the right one to put me where he wanted me to be. And when I got my score back, my mom's prayer was definitely answered. I did not get a high score. But I still had faith because the Lord had proven to me so many times that that he has a plan for me and that he has a will for me and that what he puts in my life is for a purpose and for a reason. And so with the score, I was worried that I wouldn't be able to get into the schools that I applied for or that I wanted to apply for. But again, I remember the faithfulness that the Lord had had shown towards me. And so I also unexpectedly had to take a gap year in between graduation and med school. And so during this gap year, I actually had no idea what I was going to do. But the Lord also blessed me with a job during that time. I didn't even apply for it. It just sort of fell into my hands. And during this gap year, I spent my time in Houston. I began to pray earnestly about how God wants me to serve in the church, how he wants me to serve here in HCA. And he actually put in my heart to serve the middle school students. And I haven't even told Miss Christie this, but what's funny is 2 weeks after I began thinking about that and praying about that, Miss Christie, who actually taught me in middle school, she approached me and she asked me if I would be interested in being a teacher for middle school. And it was really crazy because in my mind, it was sort of like someone had read my mind and told Miss Christie that I would be interested in doing this. But obviously, it was God's will, right? It was his working that was doing that. And so I prayed to the Lord how he wanted me to serve, and he brought me to be a teacher for the middle school students. And there are just a lot of other small things in my life that happened that the Lord did to sort of keep me in Houston. And there were a lot of different things that and signs that he showed me that where he wants me to be is here in this church and serving this church. And so after many months after I applied, you know, obviously there was a ton of silence. There's nothing that they didn't send any updates. I had no idea what was going on. But eventually I got my first interview with Baylor Med School here in Houston. And that actually ended up being pretty much my only acceptance out of all the schools that I applied to. And what's even more amazing is that my MCAT score is way lower than the average at that school. But as my mom prayed, she prayed that God would give me the right score. And it ended up being the right score because even though it was lower and I was definitely humbled, it was good enough for the Lord to be able to put me where he wanted me to be. And so during these last 4 years, I've had so much sort of uncertainty, and I've had a lot of things in my plans go awry and a lot of things that I wanted to do that didn't happen. I scored terribly on a lot of tests. I did bad on my MCAT. I didn't get many of the scholarships that I wanted. And I didn't even have a job for my gap year until the Lord gave it to me. And so just all these things and all these ways that the Lord has shown me that he's faithful to me has shown that I need to have faith in him, that I need to trust in him, and that I have no reason to worry. And so for those of you who don't know the Lord, I would encourage you that, especially if you're like me, if you're someone who is always anxious and always planning for everything in your life, I encourage you to trust in the Lord and believe in him, and know that he has planned your life for you, and know that he has a will for each and every single one of you. No matter what we do, there is nothing that we can control, but God controls all things. And so I hope that my experiences that I shared sort of give some insight into how the Lord has been faithful to me and how he will be faithful to you as well. Thank you.
All right. And next up we have Caleb.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. For those who don't know me, I'm Caleb. Unlike Joseph, I did not grow up in Houston, so I know some of all. For some of you guys, I might be relatively new. But yeah, I just wanted to share a little bit about how the Lord has really, I think, just touched me since coming to Houston. Just for a little bit of background, I grew up in California, in Southern California, and I came here in 2020 for college. And so I know a lot of you guys don't know the pre-2020 Caleb, you know, like the teenage Caleb. So I'll talk a little bit about that. I think growing up, I had a really strong Christian family. I had my parents were Christians, and I grew up in a church in Westminster. And I had a really strong just support system, a really strong foundation. When I was in high school, I think you would probably think I was really ambitious and confident and really outgoing. I wanted to leave home for college and, you know, explore what is out there. But also when I was in high school, I also had a lot of insecurities. And one that I probably wouldn't have told you back then is I really, really struggled with just finding friends in high school. Like I really didn't have a lot of close friends. I think my closest, you know, I have like three siblings. I was really close to them. But I would really struggle with, you know, like finding friends in high school. And I would probably not tell you about that, 'cause I would really keep it you know, on the surface, kept myself pretty confident and pretty ambitious. So when I came to Houston, when I came to Rice, you know, I was the type of person that was like really excited to build, new relationships. I was really excited to find the guy, to find the bros, you know, to find the people that would kind of be there for me. And when I came to Houston actually in 2019, before I started Rice, I came and visited HTA. I came and visited a lot of the Yes Group, and I just felt this sense from the Lord that this is where He was going to put me, and that's where He wanted to lead me. So really throughout the college application process, I was really at peace about coming here. And I think even when I came here, or I guess when I was applying, I was like really praying for the Lord to just give me, you know, like strong brothers to be with. And we all know what happened in 2020, right? We weren't around anybody. I came to Rice. We were stuck in our rooms. There was COVID everywhere. And I just remember my first year or my first semester in college, just kind of like sitting there in my room every day and being like, Lord, like, where's that person? You know, like, I'm kind of alone right now. And really in my first year of college, I think there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of isolation. There was a lot of like, I think what the Lord brought me here didn't really happen yet. You know, like, where's that? Where's my best friend? Where's the person that I'm supposed to meet? And so I continued through freshman year. I continued through sophomore year. And I think in my heart, there was a lot of seeking from the Lord. I asked the Lord a lot, just to place someone in my life that, that could really be there for me, to help me, you know, like to be that best friend, to be the person that could fill, the insecurities I've had for a really long time, to be loved and to be met with a companion. And even throughout like sophomore year, I think there was still a lot of seeking, a lot of isolation. And really even through all that searching, it wasn't until I'd say the middle of my sophomore year where I think the Lord really opened my eyes. And He opened my eyes to see that, really the person that He had prepared for me, who He wanted to kind of meet this hole in my heart, was just Himself. That He was the person that He wanted me to go to every single day. He was the person that, could be that, person that I can call on every day, to be the person that would actually give me the contentment that I think for so many years I had been looking for, that I'd been longing for, that I had kind of been waiting for as the person to meet this need. And so I just remember really clearly, I think like the middle of my sophomore year, the Lord just really opened my eyes and saw that, you know, my attitude was not right the whole time. I would always be looking for, you know, another person to fill this God-sized hole in my life. And I just remember that season of my life because it was filled with just so much joy and so much contentment. I would wake up every day and I would just, call on the Lord. And there was this one time in my second semester where I don't really cry a lot, but I just remember like sitting there in my room. I was alone and I just cried out to the Lord, and I was just playing a hymn. And like the moment I said the name, Jesus, Lord Jesus, like it was just kind of like this hole in my heart was filled, and I just like tears were coming out of my eyes, like uncontrollably. And I just like kept saying His name for like 30 minutes. And like, I didn't know that you could have enough tears to flow out for 30 minutes, but it was flowing for like that long. I was like, where is it coming from? But I just say this because, the Lord took me away from, you know, all the people that I have been so close with, all my, like my parents, my siblings, and brought me to a place where I think He wanted me to be away from who I'd leaned on and who I had found as the stronghold to come to Him as the only stronghold. And, just as an encouragement, I think, you know, we have a lot of people in our lives, you know, our family, our parents who show us parental love, or maybe our siblings who show us brotherly love, or maybe a romantic partner that can show us that type of love. But those are all in some ways not fully complete or perfect. What the Lord showed me in that in this time is that he is that perfect relationship. And perfect is not in the sense of like perfect match, right? Like, who are we to say that we are perfect for God? But I say perfect as perfect in lacking nothing. That when we come to him, there is no hole, there is nothing, there's no gap that needs to be filled. And we have glimpses of it here and there, but when we just find ourselves with the Lord, he is that perfect person. And we are just so complete. And so now that every time that I'm alone, or anytime that I just call out to him, I'm thankful that he is, someone that I have assurance that, he is just so near to me. He knows me, and he knows me better than anyone. And so I just want to leave you guys with that encouragement.
Well, thank you, Joseph and Caleb. It's always so encouraging.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. All right, just making sure you are awake, okay, and you didn't eat too much dinner, so you're full and ready to fall asleep. So today, obviously, you know this is called gospel meeting. So gospel simply means good news, okay? Over the past 4 months, I actually heard this question twice from two different people. Two young people that I just, encountered in my life. And they both had this question. If God is omnipotent, like in the Bible say God is all-powerful, right? Then can he create something that's so heavy that he's unable to lift up? Okay? So, I don't know whether you are a Christian or not, have you ever had a question wondering about God? Right? And for these two, they actually grew up in the church. They grew up in a Christian family. But one of them actually commented, but I just have so many questions. And unless I get these questions answered, I don't think I can believe this God. So basically, he has so much knowledge in his head, but unfortunately, there's still something missing. Okay? So, if you know a little bit about this question, so I just wanted to make sure everyone knows why this is kind of a dilemma or is a paradox, right? Because if you follow this question and trying to answer, right, you will get a conclusion that, okay, if God can create something so heavy that he cannot lift, right? So creating, sorry, I'm too nervous. So if he is able to create something so heavy, he's unable to lift up, then he is basically not omnipotent because he cannot lift up something that's so heavy, right? And if he can, he cannot create something that's so heavy where he cannot lift it up, then you fall into the trap of, then he's not omnipotent because there's something that he cannot create. Right? So is this a paradox? And do you have an answer for it? I have to say, something like this, it's kind of interesting, but it's also nonsense. The reason I say nonsense is that fundamentally, and forgive me, I think we're missing we don't have too many high schoolers. I was actually hoping we have a lot of high schoolers who is taking physics. Freshmen probably not taking physics, okay? But if you read this, this question is basically saying that can a force overcome itself? right? Can a force overcome itself? And that's actually just assume, okay? Yes, a force can overcome itself. And we all know that if a force that's equal to itself, right? If it overcome itself, then that actually means the force is not equal. Right? So the thing is that the question itself is actually putting you in a trap, because it's actually saying the definition of equal is unequal. Okay? So I think many times we have a lot of questions, or I hope you have a lot of questions. Sometimes I ask the middle schoolers, they're like blank face, no questions. But I really wanted to challenge everyone. If we wanted to be real with God, if we wanted to be real about ourselves or real about this world that we live in, we need to think. Because God actually do give us, God created us, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Okay, and that's part of the soul, that there is a certain level of intellect and it can comprehend and it can sense. And we'll actually get into about the spirit later on. Because technically, if we believe that Bible is true, then the Bible tells us that our spirit is dead. When Adam and Eve, our ancestor, when they sinned, our spirit died. Okay? So some of these questions, I'm not quite sure. Can you guys read it? Okay. One of them is actually my question when I was about high school age. Okay? And it's actually the fourth question. If God is good and he created everything, because in Genesis chapter 1, when you read about God's creation, after he created everything, he say it is good. Right? And God created everything in this universe. Then the question is, where did evil come from? Did God create evil? If God is good, how can good create evil? Okay? So, I will reserve on the answer until later. So, many things about these questions, I do think that in our daily living, if we are serious about it, we find there is a conflict. There's a battle going on. I think the number three, can science prove God's existence, is probably something that's very major among all of you today. Because, where's my, oh, I left my iPhone. Someone, let me borrow an iPhone. Oh, no, sorry. I have an iPhone 12, okay? So iPhone 12, I believe many of you, even the middle schooler nowadays, you have a phone in your pocket. And do you know this phone, and mine is pretty old, right? 12. I think the newest is 16, okay? 12 is 100,000 times more powerful than the computational power on Apollo 13. Okay? So the computer that they used back in 1967, I think, to land people on the moon. Okay? The thing in your hand is 100,000 times more powerful than that. And we actually live in a very exciting age. Okay? We live in a very scientifically, it's advancing at far, far fast rate. Okay? The past 100 years, if you actually think about history, the science has advanced so much. Today we're sitting in the comfort of AC, right? This is not invented until early 1900. Mr. Carrier, right? Figure out, you know, the expansion and contraction of the gas can actually, you know, endothermic, exothermic, the releasing or the absorbing of heat, right? So that, you know, give us today the comfort that we can actually sit in an enclosed room, right? And also advancement of a light bulb, right? So we don't have to light a candle in this room. Can you imagine back then you like so many candles in the room and it's summertime in Houston? Then I don't think we'll have this gathering here. But, you know, thanks be to God. You know, we are actually living a very blessed time where technology affords us so many things. But I do have to ask a question. Did technology solve the problem of our society, of the world? Or it actually kind of make it worse? Okay? I kind of wanted to use space, the final frontier. Maybe I'm showing my age. These are the, no. Okay. So that's a, you know, opening title from, Star Trek. Okay. So I do think that we are living a very exciting time. My wife calls me, you know, number one fan of Elon Musk. Because I do think that he has done many exciting things with science, right? If you pay attention, then you know that, SpaceX with their Falcon 9 rockets, now you can actually shoot up and then it can land itself, right? And then you can reuse the rockets multiple times. And that reduced the cost of space travel tremendously, right? And then that also forced them to be able to shoot up a rocket every other day, kind of like that. Right? And we know that, because now they have this vehicle to deliver a satellite at a very frequent rate, right? Then out of that, they came with a Starlink. Okay? So you can actually be in the middle of nowhere. You can still use this, to be connected. So I hope I didn't, you know, convince you to become a worshiper of Elon Musk. Okay, but my point is, science is great, but we often have the misconception, or many people believe that science and God are mutually exclusive. So that means you can either have one or the other, but you cannot have both. Okay, do you feel, you know, that's what you've been taught? Science and God, or maybe you can take God out for as a, let's say, religion. Okay. Are they often on the opposing end or opposite corner of the boxing match? Right? And science is all about proof, numbers, and the data. Right? And out of the numbers, then you prove something to be true. But religion or something about God, you know, the two brothers, they actually have very, very good testimony. It's something that's so real to them, they are willing to stand up here and tell you about it. But how do you know that's true? Could it be just their warm and fuzzy feeling? Oh, maybe Caleb is a wonderful, very gentle person, so therefore he cried. I would say if you actually know enough Christian, know enough about people of God, I would say that's not the case. But often the society or the science try to trap us in thinking that, you know, science and God are actually opposite. And because you cannot provide a concrete proof of God's existence, okay? But I really wanted to challenge you to think about that. Is that really true? And is that really the case? My daughter, she is in third grade right now. And I know that if you're in elementary in KDISD, okay, typically in second and third grade, you will learn about our solar systems. Small quiz. Do you remember what are the components of solar systems? There's definitely our sun, the planet, right? And then many planets has moon, and then come, and then you have asteroid or comet, right? And there are dust. Okay. But one thing about science is that science is not absolute. I know 20 years ago when I was in grade school, when I learned about solar system, we have 9 planets. How many are there now?
8.
I think 8, right? So things do change. And also, can you imagine, I would say about 150 years ago, if you try to tell someone about solar system, do you think that they will believe you? Or they will be able to comprehend, you know, about the distance between the sun and the earth. Okay? So science is actually very, very limited. It's just that in the past 100 years we have tremendous growth. So unfortunately, there's an enemy of ours trying to blind us and try to use that to replace God. Okay? But the thing is, science and God are not mutually exclusive. If we actually have a heart that's humble enough, we can actually see God through science. Okay. I think everyone recognizes this. This is where we live, right? If you actually think about it, it's beautiful. Okay. Look at the background. It's dark, it's void. But yet here is a planet that's filled with color. Okay? Today we are, well, so we live in Houston. Unfortunately, we don't have much seasons. Right? It's only summer, and hotter summer, slightly colder summer. Okay? But it's all summers. But if you think about it, it's beautiful. If you have the chance to go to somewhere north, then you know in the time of September into October, the leaves, they start to change color. Right? They change into gold, orange, and all shades of color. Right? Red. And how did that happen? It's because Earth axis is tilted 23.5 degrees. If you look at the other planet, for instance, I think the previous one, Mercury. Mercury is actually perfectly straight up. So there's no tilt. So it's always hot, just like Houston. And it's much closer to the sun too. Okay? And then you also have, I put there Neptune. Neptune is the 8th planet. Right? And it's the furthest from the sun. Okay? Just to put this into perspective, okay? I'm going to give you some numbers. Okay? You know, because space is so vast, so the astronomer, they often have to use something big to describe it. Otherwise, they would just have to come up with, you know, I don't know, quazillion, pentazillion, or whatever terms, okay? So they often use light, the speed of light, how fast the light can travel in a time to describe the distance, right? So that's called light seconds or light year. Light can travel how fast in 1 second? 186,000 miles, okay? And if that's just a number, doesn't mean anything. It actually means it can travel around the Earth, the circumference of the Earth, 7 times in 1 second. Okay? The light from Moon to Earth takes about 1.2 seconds. Okay? And the light from Sun to Earth takes about 8.3 minutes. Okay? So the light that you saw, you know, from the Sun is technically happened 8 minutes ago. All right, then it reaches you. Now, Neptune is about 30 times further from the sun than Earth. Okay, so the light will take about 4.5 hours to reach. Do you know that man actually has sent out a satellite or a probe back in 1977 called Voyager 1. And right now is the furthest. Yes, Ethan?
The furthest man-made object. It's been working for 45 years. They almost lost contact with it, like, back
in... All right, thank you. So, I do have to tell you, men are amazing, right? We designed something back in 1977, and today it still works. Does any of your appliance work for that long? I don't think so. All right, so there is some engineering there. So Voyager today is already 22 hours, 22 hours and 15 minutes away from Sun. Okay, so it's much further than Neptune, than Pluto, and they're in a region called interstellar space. Okay, and this is where the Sun's magnetic field no longer holds any hold, or no longer has any holds on the object, okay? So let's actually put this into perspective, because all these are just numbers. You guys know what a soybean looks like, right? Oh, some people don't, okay. Imagine the cap or the top of this pen, okay? Just the blue part is actually bigger than soybean. Okay? But assuming, okay, that's a soybean. And assuming that's the Sun. Okay? So the distance from the Sun to Neptune is about 80 meters. If I go by this, how to say it, this is a 5 millimeter or half a centimeter. So the distance, okay, it's actually beyond the length of this room, because I don't think the length of this room is 80 meter. Okay, so that's actually how far or how vast, okay, the space is. So imagine this is the Sun. Okay, from here all the way to the back of the room and go beyond, maybe into the parking lot. Okay, that's where Neptune is. Okay, and remember, Neptune is not even halfway through our solar system. Okay, today the NASA's definition for our solar system is on the very outer edge is called Oort cloud, and it takes about 1.87 light year from the Sun light to travel to the edge of the Oort cloud. So that's how big our solar system is. So let me ask you this. If such a vast, vast space, there's actually a creator behind it. Okay? If, let's just make assumption, there's actually a creator behind this vast space, or and everything in between, then how great is that creator? Okay? But, you know, even though we think our solar system is big, our solar system is in what? Milky galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Okay? Do you know what's the diameter, or from end to end, you know, estimate, is the width of the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy? It's 100,000 light years. Okay, we talk about our own solar system is only maybe close to 2 light years. So the width of Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years. And there are billions of galaxies like this in the universe. I have to say, it's beyond what we can imagine. Right? It's beyond what we can imagine. I once heard someone passing a gospel tract, and they try to compare man to God, and they say if God is like a human being, then the man is like a little ant. But I will tell you, that's already elevated man's position, right? Because earlier, this little comparison If that's a sun, okay, do you know how much sun or how many earth you can fit into a sun? Okay? If this is the size of the sun, earth is not even a dust. And you and I live on that earth, I think it's invisible. But yet, all this are created for a purpose. So, this has happened earlier this year, and I hope many, many of you have seen this. Okay? If I'm doing this, I think you can tell me what I'm doing. I think we all know, and we are all guilty of it, right? Let me ask you this question. What are you looking at? You are looking at a creation of a man, right? Not necessarily Mr. Steve Jobs, but his whole company, Apple. Great. Or Google for Android, okay? Sorry, I'm a techie, so you have to forgive my my nerdiness. Okay, we are looking at the creation of man, right? And we already think it's so great. How many of you don't like your phone? Honestly, I think most of us love our phone because we find it so useful and can do so many things and provide endless of entertainment, definitely for sure for my kids, okay? But let's go back with, have we actually considered when we look at this? Who is the creator, the architect, the designer behind this? I have the blessing where God kind of prompted me on that day to take my kids out of school because that's actually a school day, and then we drove for about 2-3 hours. Towards where the total eclipse happens, because it's actually somewhere near Waco, right? So I took the kids out of the school, and then we drove, and then we didn't want to, you know, to have such a large crowd and then join the, you know, solar eclipse party. So all we do is that when we are close enough, then we just turn into a country road. It's a dust and you know, filled with rocks, right? And then we just drove some distance away from the main road, and then we just parked and took out the camping chair and then have a picnic and waiting for this to happen. Okay. The only thing I can tell you is that it's surreal. When this happens, okay, scientifically, you can explain. Total eclipse happens because the moon is right between the earth and the sun, right? But do you know that total eclipse only happens because the moon is about 1/400th size of the sun, and also distance-wise, it's about 400 times, you know, closer to earth than to the sun. So because of that ratio, is able to form a total eclipse. Okay? And total eclipse is different from partial eclipse, because I can only tell you that when that happens, it looks so odd. Because the moment when that happens, it's almost like quickly you turn from day into dawn and then into almost like night. And we had the fortune of, you know, we are in the field, and there are a couple cows, and they began to make weird noises. But all this, I think, is teaching me that, you know, if we are really created by this being, then in our nature, there's something that tells us where we live and the everything that's around us. Indeed, it's not because of chance, of something mutation than it happened, but rather we are fearfully and amazingly and wonderfully made. And I think total eclipse It's again, it's in the heavenly, and God's way to show us, you know, he flung the stars, the planets, the planets into the sky, and we have this amazing sight. And good thing is that with science today, we are not afraid, right? But lacking the proper knowledge, right, we could turn God's creation into something completely different. So, back to, you know, some of the questions that you have. I found that in order to find the answer to those questions, there's really two ways. And actually, it's the same way. One is that you have to come to the Creator to ask the question. Because some of these is just beyond what science can explain. Just like today, science, there's no way to explain quantum entanglement. Sorry. Quantum entanglement is like quantum physics. Okay? All the physics that we know can be seen, and it's on a larger scale. But quantum is tiny. Okay? And it doesn't follow the Newtonian laws. Quantum entanglement is that you have two... I shouldn't get into the details. Okay? But basically, surpassing the limitation of distance, two objects, they are interacting with each other faster than the speed of light. Okay? It's defying E=mc², right? The Einstein's law is nothing can go faster than the speed of light, but quantum entanglement is beyond that. Okay? So, if we have questions, we can actually come to the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord of creation, to ask. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attribute, that is his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made." I'll bring you another example. We are men, right? But there's some nature in us that's reflecting God's design. Many of you probably have flew in the airplane, right? Any of you have hit turbulence? Like severe turbulence, where you're just being thrown up and down, up and down. Okay? Thank God I only experienced that once, and I think that's enough. But the very odd thing is that when that happens, you see people's face drop. And many of them begin to pray. You can tell that they are praying. Or I can only think that, you know, even if you don't believe in God, when something like that happens, you will be like, "Oh, heaven help me." In Chinese, it says, "Lao Tian Ye." Okay. Because it's just building in us. Do you know that the Bible says we are built in God's image? That means God has a desire that when he built us, that he desired for us to know him. And he has this inward feature that's built into each one of us that we cannot deny, no matter how hard that we try. Okay? Another little thing. We live in a society where everywhere is light, and science empower us not to be superstitious. So when the thunder is going on in the night, we shouldn't be afraid, right? Sounded right, but I'm pretty sure when you are a little kid, or even maybe now, when you hear a loud thunder, you are pretty scared and you are shocked. Okay? Same thing goes with, let's say, darkness. As a parent, sometimes I couldn't figure out, why are my kids so afraid of dark? Why do they think there's something underneath their bed? I think this actually has perfect explanation, because God created us. He said, you are created as a sons of light. So if you are a son of light, therefore, you do not like darkness. Okay? So, to find answers, we can go back to the Bible. We can ask. Because it's beyond our intellect, and it's beyond what science can tell us today. Matthew 5:45 says, God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I think this verse actually tells us many of the questions that we feel about injustice in this world. Many times that we feel like, if God is good, why does he allow such an evil thing, such a bad thing to happen? Okay? And that's actually one of the questions I had when I was a teen. Why do such a bad thing happen? You know, then this verse, it spoke to me. God is not going easy on the evil, or he is not ignoring, or, you know, taking his eyes aside. But it's actually in his grace and mercy that he is allowing this to happen, so that whoever does it, or whatever that evil, okay, have a chance to repent. As well as, if God is just where he has to punish the evil, then technically he has to be just and punish all the evil in the world. So it is actually for the sake of mercy, which means the punishment we deserve, he did not give. Okay, so then he is delaying his judgment. He is delaying his punishment. And here I'm going to do a little experiment, and I'm going to have 2 sixth graders as my helper. Okay, so here I'm going to give you a statement. Everyone in this room is able to balance a fork and a spoon on a wooden stick and then set that on the cup rim, or on the rim of the cup. Okay? The thing is, the fork and spoon will be in the midair and not touching anything. The only thing that it touches is the stick. So, Ethan and Iris, come on. Do your magic. Actually, before they do that, sorry, I messed up. I didn't deliver this correctly.
I don't mind.
So I'm making a statement. Everyone in this room, so that including you, okay, you are able to do what they are about to do. And I think there are 3 responses. Oh, I clicked too fast. Ah! All right, I give up. Technology. First is, meh, whatever. You know, let me go back to my da-da-da. Okay? This has nothing to do with me. I don't care. Second response. Hadassah, stop. How can you actually put, you know, a fork and spoon in the air without touching anything except for the stick? How is that possible? Okay, no, it's not possible. And actually, earlier I invited these two to my house to try. They try for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. They're like, Mr. Jonathan, because you say the statement, so we trust you. It can be done. Okay? So they tried and tried. Okay? And I think they come to this. Yes, it's possible, but I don't know how. Okay? So go ahead and demonstrate. All pressure is on you. No. No. Okay, so now is no pressure. Okay. You will shake the table, so. And by the way, I welcome you after to come up and do it yourself, because you can do it. And that's actually, yes, it's possible, because I have done it. Maybe you first saw it being done, okay? But, thank you. But that's, you know, that's a progression. So with this statement, I wanted to share with you, it's a secret of how we come to know God. We may be stuck in here, okay? But the thing is, the matter of God is beyond our comprehension. So it is possible. All things are possible with Him. Okay? Even though we may not know how. Okay? But God is able if you believe and you go to Him. So I kind of label, there's probably two sides. The first two, I think, belongs to the same category. And that is doubt. Okay? And that is, you know, you just don't think, or you don't care, because it's no matter to you. The third one, I will actually say, that's actually questioning. Okay? Maybe similar to the questions on the first page. Questions. Okay? And I wanted to encourage all of you to consider, questioning is not the same as doubting. And questioning actually can be very beneficial in our pursuit of the truth, because it will actually encourage us to run after the truth giver. And then through the process, we'll learn something that will be amazing and transformational. Okay? And I think Joseph and Caleb's testimony is like that. You know, gospel, I mentioned, means good news. And here is God's statement about gospel. Okay? Similar to the statement that you read earlier. It's a statement. So, you have to take a response. The statement is that, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God for giving us His Son, Jesus, whose blood cleanses from all sins. So the first statement is that all have sinned. Okay, that means we're all sinners. You may not know what the definition of what sin is in God's economy, but I'll just give you a quick rundown. If I've lied, if I've cheated, if I've bullied, if you have envied, if you have thought bad about someone, maybe not even to the point of hatred, okay, but you just thought bad about them. Okay? All these are considered sin. Okay? Because none of these characters are in God. And when He created us, they are not in us. Another thing that we don't consider to be sin is actually pride. I'm very proud of my achievement. I'm very proud. I think, hey, all you said, I mean, all the sin that you just mentioned, it's in everyone. They're not really sin. I'm not a lawbreaker. I've never done anything wrong in my life, break the law. So I'm actually a pretty decent person. And also, I maybe help the poor or do this or that to help other people. Okay, that's pride. And unfortunately, God also gives definition for pride is that's a sin. Okay, without getting too much detail, you know, the fallen angel Lucifer, his problem is that he has pride, and he thinks he's higher than God, even though he's a created being. God gave him tremendous glory. So, by the way, devil does not have two horns and looks ugly. Okay, devil or Lucifer, he's very beautiful. And he was actually a chief angel, okay? And he was put in charge, and he was very capable. But in his heart, maybe he doesn't have heart, sorry. But he elevated himself above God. He said, I am God, right? So that's actually the problem that God sees as the uttermost important. So in the book that God gave us called the Bible, the Word of God, God sees this as the most important things that man needs to know. Not technology, not physics, not chemistry, okay? But God thinks this is the most important. Many are engineers here. And engineers, we have a joke. We never read the manual, right? But Bible is almost like a manual that God gave to mankind, that this is how you can live a good life, a truly good life. Okay? But unfortunately, because of our pride, after we took the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, we think we already know what's good and what's evil. So we do not accept the book of God as something to be taken seriously. Okay? So because of that, and generation after generation, people continue to reject God and his provisioning. Just like we mentioned earlier, God gave the sun, God gave the fruit, the harvest to everyone. Okay? So eventually, in order to show mankind what the man of God looks like, so God sent his begotten son. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So that's the story here. In order to show us what God intended originally in the garden for Adam and Eve, to have the life and the characters of his son, okay, they are supposed to take the fruit of life. Okay, so that they have the characters of God truly. Okay. But men are unable to grasp because there's already darkness in us. And darkness does not accept light. So God sent his own son. And then Jesus, he walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. He lived, worked, and in such a way that everybody understands. And that's actually the grace of God. So the gospel is actually can you go click? Technical difficulty. So to receive this gift brought by Jesus is actually very, very simple. We simply needed to confess. That means this sin that God so cares so much. Okay, we need to admit, acknowledge, and have a true repentance. We are remorsing. We are feeling, sad about it, and we wanted to change. And then, finally, it's not by our own effort. Okay, if I do one wrong thing, I do 10 good things that I can cover it up or equal the wrong that I did. In God's economy, it doesn't work that way. But rather, every sin, there's a wage to be paid. And in this case, God actually already paid the wage of our sin through his son. So, therefore, Jesus is our only salvation. Okay? So, this actually, again, is a protection for us so that we will not become prideful. Because if I say, okay, yes, I'm a sinner, but I can do 1,000 good things. I can be a philanthropist and give away all my money and, help the poor. And then, see, I'm actually pretty good. Unfortunately, that's the weakness of men, that we like to boast or we like to hang on to what we can do. But we forgot, actually, the nature of sin is such that it's actually beyond our control. But it's just only by the grace of God that our sins are not exposed. Okay? Many of us, we live in America, which is a wonderful country full of freedom. But if some of you know about maybe Chinese history, in the Cultural Revolution, or even think about in World War II, in Nazi Germany, if you're under pressure to persecute someone, just simply because they are different. And if you don't do it, you yourself will go into jail and have the same treatment. Do you think you will be able to hold fast? I mean, that person has nothing to do with you. It's a stranger. It's not even someone that you know. Right? So under those circumstances, I believe most of us will fall. Bible wonderfully gave us many examples of how we can receive this gospel. Okay, so here we'll look at three people. So the first one is Luke 23:31. Can I actually maybe have someone to read it? Any volunteer? Ethan, thank you. Jesus was hanging on the cross along with two other criminals, and they are thieves or robbers. At the beginning, they are both mocking Jesus. Oh, you are the king of the Jews. Save yourself. If you are really the Son of God, then you should have power, omnipotent power, right? You should come down, save yourself. Because if I have that power, I'll be doing that. See, that's, again, we're using our intellect, our understanding, to predict or to think, you know, how God will do it. But God the Father actually has a different purpose. He sent His Son to be hung on the cross so that our sins, all the sins of men, all the sins of the world, including people rejected Him, okay, their sins are covered if they choose to take this gift. Did this robber attend any Sunday school? No. Did he have a Bible to read? No. But he just had a remorse. He confessed who he is, and he also admitted who Jesus is. And that's actually the start of the salvation. So, to be saved, to believe in God, it's actually very easy. We don't need to overcomplicate things. Mark 9, 20 and 24. Can I have someone read it for us? Tegan. So this is a story of a father whose son is evil possessed, and then that evil spirit will throw the son into all kinds of danger. The father has knowledge because he has heard, he has seen Jesus healing others. But there's something in him somehow calls him, he is unable to fully commit. But he knew Jesus is able. But the problem is on his side. So he cried out, "Alas, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief." That's actually a condition for many of us. Even for Christians,
I'll be very honest. It doesn't mean that after we become Christian, we follow God all the way. But rather, our faith are growing. And many times our faith are faltering. But the wonderful thing is, if we are honest, if we are being honest with ourselves and with God, Jesus can help us. It's when we don't care and we trying to hide it, trying to pretend something that we are not. Okay? Then unfortunately, God has to honor our free will. Then he's not able to do it. But the wonderful thing is, when we are unable to do it, the Lord is able. So we can actually, even tonight, if you've heard and you thought it's good, and you wanted to have it, you know, the experience of Caleb and Joseph, you wanted to have it, but there's something not quite right, you can actually do this Father's Prayer. You can bring it to the Lord. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Lord, answer my question. I do believe in you. I do want to have you. Okay. Person number three. Thomas is actually one of the disciples of Jesus. So you would imagine someone who followed Jesus for 3.5 years and saw him healing thousands, saw him fed the 5,000 out of little, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay. Saw Jesus walking on the water. You would think that such a person should have a heart fully for the Lord and also trust in the Lord 100%. Okay. But here is the story. Thomas called the, sorry, can someone read it for me? Nathan. For many Christians, including if we have been in God's house, we can still fall into the same condition. There's certain things, because we are sinners, there's a nature in us that's just counter to what God wants. But the wonderful thing is, the Lord will expose that, and the Lord will help us to deal with it. So here is a story about after Jesus' resurrection. So he rose from the dead. He was actually crucified on the cross, buried for 3 days. Okay, he was completely dead. But then he resurrected according to what he actually told his disciple ahead of time. So they knew in their head, this is will happen. But they don't really know how it truly will happen. Also, even when it happened, because there's 10 other disciples telling Thomas, the Lord is risen. We all seen him. And many, many other, you know, there are probably 120, okay, that saw the Lord's resurrection. But unfortunately, Thomas wasn't there. So Thomas says, you guys are drinking too much. Or you're drinking too much Kool-Aid. Alright? So, unless I put my finger into his wound on the side, put my finger into the nail mark, I will not believe. Okay? So, when 8 days later, when the Lord appears, the Lord did not wait for Thomas to ask. And the Lord is not rebuking Thomas, actually. If you really know the Lord, the Lord is restoring Thomas. Just like how he restored Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times. So the Lord is simply, again, pointed out the key thing about how you can receive the salvation. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Believing. If the Lord can create this vast universe, do you think resurrection from the dead is that difficult? If the Lord can flung billions of galaxy, that's hundreds of times the size of ours. Okay, if he can break the law of conservation of energy, right? It says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. But you have to ask, then where did energy come from in the first place? If the Lord is that, right, then how difficult it is for him to resurrect, and how difficult it is for the virgin to give birth. Okay. And thankfully, the verse following this says, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciple, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There are some many objective evidence telling us Bible is the truth. Because do you know that Bible is actually composed of 66 different books? And I believe about 40 plus author. So these are different people that wrote the different letters and sent to different places. It's just that the believer later on put them together. But when you read the Bible, it's as if it's written from one person because it's consistent. There is no conflict. And it actually tells us what we needed to know, because the Lord in his wisdom, he knew what we needed. And this verse, I actually see you and I are mentioned in this verse. The fact that tonight we are sitting here is not coincidence, but rather it's God's soft, tender calling out to us. Come home. Come to me. Come. Even though you might be a sinner, but I accept you. Just take the gift of my son. It's that simple. I do feel sometimes bad for children who grew up in church. Because when you live... Sorry, I'm going to speak for myself. When we live in the church where we read so much about the goodness of God, but also at the same time we read about the law, the requirement, the commandments, often what happens is that we know it's good and then we try to do it, but then we are unable to do it. And then there comes to a fear. What if I accept the Lord, but then I cannot do it, and then I'm going to embarrass the Lord. I'm going to crucify him again. So I actually had that burden when I was about to be baptized or become a believer. Because it's so good. What God says is so good. But I can't do it. Okay? It's just one very simple thing. You know, do not lie. I remember that, you know, tell everything, tell the truth, the whole truth. But I often will give half truth. I'm not sure if you know what I mean. You know, sometimes you only give half truth, because that's even more believable than a complete lie, right? And we all know if you tell one lie, often you have to tell a second lie to cover the first one, and then a third one to cover the second. I think we all should have that experience. So that's the condition that I was in. But I was missing one point. You know, without the life of Jesus, nobody can live the righteous requirement or the goodness that God wants us to live. So we are actually under a false pretense or a false understanding that I'm able to do this. So that actually will happen, but it's after you believe in the Lord. After you receive the life of Jesus into your life, then God will start working in your life. Okay? But before you get to that point, you have to accept Him as your Savior first. Okay? So, really don't think that Christian is just a bunch of laws or a bunch of requirements. It's not. Because God do not force on you. God is waiting for people to willingly come before Him and to admit, this is good and I want life. So can we actually close our eyes? And I like to take the time to really encourage and to ask all of you to be honest and to examine yourself. Am I a sinner? Have I fallen short of the glory of God? Even if I have grew up in church, do I really know this person named Jesus? We could be like the disciples. We follow Him for 3.5 years, but we do not know Him. If that's the case, and we really wanted to know Him, now is the opportunity. What God wants us to do is simply saying, Lord, I'm willing. I accept your gift. So if you wanted to accept the gift that God the Father has given to you through His Son, would you have the bravery? Would you have the courage? Raise your hand. And you are answering to God. God sees it. But it's necessary for us to raise our hand. Why? Because only when you truly believe, then you have an action that tells of others. Tell not only to yourself, also tell to the devil. That Jesus is your life. So, thank you. You may put it down. And if you have never do such a public proclamation, again, I wanted to give you one more chance. Let's continue to have our eyes closed. Is anyone willing to accept this free gift of God? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's do a quick prayer. Lord, we just wanted to thank you because you are the creator. You are also the giver of our life. Even though we do not know you formally, but you have given us your book, the Word of God, and tell us all there is to know. And we thank you that you also give us your church, the body of Christ, as a testimony and also as an avenue where we can come to know you more and more. For all the friends and brother, sister who raised their hand tonight, Lord, we thank you because your word says, unless the Father enable us, no one can come before the Son. And unless the Spirit reveal to us and put that faith in us, then no one can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we wanted to thank you that it is not we have done it, or it is not our faith has saved us, but you have initiated that good work. You have placed that faith in all of us. So we give the following time to you, Lord. May you continue to speak, to lead, and you may receive the love that's due to you. We thank you for this opportunity that we may hear your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right. Well, as our brother was sharing, I couldn't help but think of Psalm 8, when David is praying to the Lord, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Lord, it's what a wondrous calling the Lord has for us. Let's enter into it. So, without further ado, we do have a discussion group time. So, we will go forward into various groups. The middle schoolers, not quite yet, will go with their teachers to the middle school room. The high school will stay in this room, and the college age yes group will go over to the yes group room, which is where that same group had mealtime. If you have any questions still about where to go, again, ask those people around you. For those who have children who are in a different place than you are currently, that pickup will be at 9 p.m. In the same place that you drop them off. So that would be 9 p.m. And we have some questions for the discussion time. For those who are believers, what are some ways in which you have experienced the Lord Jesus in your daily life? And secondly, how does being a Christian affect how you live? And then if you are not a believer, what made you want to come join the gospel meeting? And secondly, are you open to believing in Jesus? If not, what questions or doubts do you have about believing in Jesus? Please come prepared to bring your answers to these questions and also any other questions you might have. Break. Middle school, follow Mike. High school, stay in here. And then yes group, college age, will be in the yes group room. And adults, sorry, in the yes group room. Follow William right there. Thank you.